237. 237. Let the lower lights be burning. Let's sing this song together. All three verses. And if you will, please stand as we sing this song.
See this number out this morning with your Bibles ready to study. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us this morning. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Simpkins has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready, where you can confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the Ephesian letter and the first chapter, I want to look at one verse to get the thought for our study. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read with you verse 3. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." You know, there might be some that ask the question, just what is the purpose of gospel preaching? And you know, that would be a good question. Someone might say, "Well, preacher, I believe the purpose of gospel preaching is to make sure that we reach to the lost, that we're preaching to reach those who are outside the ark of safety, who are lost and they're condemned." And that would be a good answer, and that would be correct. Someone else might say, "Well, preacher, I think that we ought to hear more sermons on why, as Christians, we ought to be grateful for the salvation we've received as the people of God." And that would be a good answer and be correct. But to make a study this morning of how rich one is in Christ should accomplish both. I want us to stop and think about this morning that when Jesus wrote His last will and testament, He made it possible for us to share His rich spiritual blessings. And instead of spending it all, Jesus paid it all. And so with this one thought in our mind, I desire at this time to talk with you about how rich one is that is in Christ Jesus. I sometimes wonder if we recognize as Christians how rich we truly are, how wealthy we are because of the spiritual blessings we receive in Christ. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he told them in verse 3 again, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." And I think about that statement, every spiritual blessing, and then he tells us in the heavenly places in Christ. So the first thing I want us to do is stop and look at some of the blessings we've received from God the Father. And when you look in the Ephesian letter and the first chapter, you'll see that God has blessed us greatly spiritually. That we are wealthy spiritually because of what God has given us and what God has done for us. In the Ephesian letter and the first chapter, look at verse 4. "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved." Now then, I want you to note, my friend, several statements that He made. Look in verse 4 and notice that God has chosen us. And take a note of that very carefully. This, my friend, deals with the elect of God. If you take your Bible, you'll remember in 2 Peter chapter 1, when Peter was writing, that he writes that we need to make sure that our calling and election is sure. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 10, Peter said, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." Now, I want you to recognize God has chosen us. Someone one time said, you try to explain the election of God, you might lose your mind, but you try to explain it away and you'll lose your soul. But what we must take notice of is that God chose us in Christ. Notice that again. In the Ephesian letter, and notice that he said in chapter 1 that we have been chosen in Him. That is a beautiful thought, that in Christ we have been chosen. This calling and election comes by and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you take your New Testament, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And when you come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at what Paul said, beginning at verse 13. "But we have been bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation, through sanctification, through the Spirit, and belief in the truth." Now watch it. He said, chose us for salvation through sanctification. How? By the Spirit, and by what? Belief in the truth. Now look at verse 14. "To which He called you by our gospel." Do you recognize, my friend, that the chosen are those who've accepted the gospel call? Go back, if you will, to the book of Isaiah and the 42nd chapter, and I'll show you who the elect one is. In Isaiah 42 and verse 1, Isaiah the prophet, prophesying about the Christ, said, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights." That is in Christ. Do we understand that when we are in Christ, we become one of the elect because He is the elect one? And when we are in Christ, we are one of God's people. Isn't it wonderful to know that we've been chosen of God in Christ? But notice a second thing we are blessed with. Not only does He choose us, but notice, my friend, He adopts us. Notice verse 5. In verse 5, he talks about the fact that we've been adopted as sons by Jesus Christ. And the Bible gives us at least two pictures of being added to the family of God. You can go back to John chapter 3 and read verses 3 through 5, and you'll see that we were born again. In Romans chapter 6, you remember it says that we've been baptized into Christ. We've been raised to walk in newness of life. So it's a new birth. But then there's also the picture of adoption. And as adoption, we conform to the laws of adoptions and become members of the family. And I want us to understand, some labor under the view that adopted children aren't loved as much as natural children. I beg to differ with that view. Adopted children, my friend, come because of a special decision made. There's a decision made. It's a costly decision. It takes time. It takes pressure. It takes money to adopt a child. And God has adopted us into His family. I'll tell you something, my friend, that is one of the greatest blessings this morning that you and I could ever receive, is to be adopted into the family of God, to call God our Father. We're so unworthy of such a blessing, and yet God has richly blessed us. He said, I want you to be my sons and my daughters. And thus, one of the greatest blessings we have is to see God adopting us. But notice thirdly, if you will, in verse 6, God has accepted us. Not only has God chosen us, not only has God adopted us, but God has accepted us. And we need to remember, we cannot make ourselves acceptable unto God. He must be willing to accept us. There was nothing I could do on my own merit, of my own goodness, to make God love me. God loved me in spite of my sin and provided a sacrifice to remove the sin because He wanted to accept me. And isn't it wonderful to know that you've been accepted by the Father of heaven? Isn't it wonderful to know that He's willing to accept us? Isn't it wonderful this morning to know how richly blessed we are, that God loves us, He's chosen us, He's adopted us, He has accepted us. I remember when I was in college, I'd come home from school and my younger sister had not yet been adopted. And I remember her asking me, and she was about 10 years and she'd been in foster care for that long. She said, are you going to come to my adoption party? And you know something, my friend? That's exactly how we should view when one becomes a child of God. What joy to know that we have been added to the family of God and that we can call God our Father and that He has accepted us. The world may not accept us. Others may not accept us. Others may not want us a part of their family. Others may not choose us. But God has chosen us in His Son, that if we follow His Son, that we will be His children. Now, what has been predestined is the plan collectively, the people and the plan. The people who are in Christ are the chosen, the adopted, the accepted. Those who've been baptized into Christ, He has chosen as His children, He's adopted as His children, and He's accepted as His people. Isn't that a wonderful thought? But if you take your Bible, look, if you will, beginning at verse 7, and look at the blessings from the Son. And notice that Christ the Son has given us many spiritual blessings. And notice, my friend, every spiritual blessing can only be found in God. You name me the spiritual blessing and I'll show you where you find it. And in verse 7, notice He has redeemed us. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Now, to redeem means to purchase or pay for our sin. Just to think that He paid for our sin. That is a tremendous thought. To think that the God of heaven sent His Son to make a payment and that it didn't cost us one thing. Even though we were the reason there was a sin, even though they're the reason that there was a separation, Jesus came and paid it all. But notice a second blessing we receive spiritually. Not only do we have in Him redemption, but notice in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Underscore forgiveness. Not only has He redeemed me, He's forgiven me. And the word forgive means to carry away. Christ came to carry our sins away, never to be brought up to us again. And I stop and I think about this morning, how rich we are in Christ. I don't think some people see how rich they are. I look out and sometimes I think we fail to see just how blessed we are to be called children of God. We just endure worship service and we don't see how wealthy God has blessed us in spiritual manners. And I'll tell you, when you stop and think about that God has forgiven you of your sins, what riches to know we've been forgiven and our sins carried away. If we can't see that as a blessing, my friend, our heart is hard, our mind is occupied somewhere else, and we are not thinking about spiritual things. Sometimes I would to God I had the ability to put into the heart of every man and woman how just blessed we are that God would be willing to send His Son to redeem us and to forgive us. And if you take note in verses 8 through 10, He's revealed His will to us. Look at what He says in verse 8. Which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purchased to Himself. Notice that, my friend. He's made known. He has made known to us the secret things that our time and our mind we can understand the eternal God. And it is through and by that will that we can be blessed in Christ. Open your Bible to the Ephesians letter and the 5th chapter. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 17. He says in verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. One can understand the will of God. One may not want to accept it. One may not want to practice it. One may not ever obey it. But I'll tell you one thing, my friend. One can understand it. Everyone in this auditorium can understand what the will of God is. We may not ever understand every part of the Bible. There may be some things we're kind of confused about, but we can understand what it takes to be a child of God. Everyone in this auditorium has that much knowledge. But I'll tell you something else. Look in verses 11 through 12. He's made us heirs. Oh, that should really open our eyes. In Him. There it is again in verse 11. We've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. You know, think about that as we read in verses 11 and 12. We are made the heirs of God. Peter shed some light on this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look, if you will, and notice what he said at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, there's that word, chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All that to say in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, whatever inheritance your family leaves you, your parents may leave you, it's going to fade away. Do you recognize that the clothing we have, the money we have, the automobile we have, the house we have, all that one day will be gone? He said all those things fade away, but Christ has given us an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and it doesn't fade away, and it's reserved. I like that word. He's keeping our reservation. He says, I've got a place for you, and it's in heaven. God has reserved a place for you in heaven because you're His child. You ever went to a restaurant and didn't have reservations, and you just stood there like an idiot because you had to call ahead? And you didn't realize it was one of them fancy places, and you said, oh, no, we don't have them in Cheville. But you go to Nashville and you go to some place and they expect you to have reservations. Well, think, we have already had heaven reserved. He said that place God has reserved for you. Peter says it's an inheritance that'll never fade away. And think of the price he paid for us to make us heirs of the things of God. He was willing to die on a cross. How rich we are. And how undeserving we are, but how rich we are in Christ. But then look at the blessings of the Holy Spirit. In verses 13 and 14, he said, in Him, oh, there it is again, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at that, He has sealed us. The entire process of becoming a child of God is revealed in verses 13 and 14. And first, we've heard the gospel of our salvation. They heard and discovered it was for them. Then they believed, they trusted in the promise, and they were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2. Look in verses 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved by faith, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We've been saved by the grace of God. Now look at what he says. This sealing implies ownership. Look at verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The seal shows who we belong to, Christ. And it belongs to the Lord. We belong to the people. And the Spirit has sealed us. And this is mark of being genuine, Romans 8, 9. Then He has paid our earnest. And that's a very interesting word. It means down payment. Thus, as we sum it all up, He's the earnest and seal of the fact that we are children of God. You know what an engagement ring is for? An engagement ring is a symbol of the fact that a promise will be kept. Now, I don't know if people would still do that today. I think they just give rings and take it back. But it used to mean if I give to you, it's a promise. And it's meant to be kept. Now, it's better to break an engagement in that situation if it's not going to work. But that is what it's supposed to be, a promise. I think about what He said. He's given us His promise by the Spirit that we shall be like Him. Open your Bibles to 1 John 3. Oh, I'll tell you, this is so rich. And I'll tell you, if you're not a Christian, I'm telling you, you're missing out on some of the greatest blessings. And as Christians, I would to God we would see the blessings. In 1 John 3, He said, behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. John's even amazed at it, and he walked with Christ. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. I shall be like Him. All true riches come from God. They come by the grace of God. The riches now only the beginning compared to what we'll have in heaven when we're in the city of God. Do you see how rich you are? You know, sometimes we go around saying, oh, we don't have this and we don't have that. I'd wonder when was the last time we counted our spiritual blessings. That God has chosen us. That God has adopted us. That God has accepted us. That the Son has redeemed us and forgiven us. And that He has given us to make us an heir. That we have a place in heaven reserved for us. And that the Holy Spirit, He has gone and He is our earnest, our down payment. He has sealed us to show that we belong to God. And I'll tell you something. If you don't have a dime, but you have that, you are the richest person on the face of the earth. Sometimes all we see blessing is physical things. And we miss the spiritual blessings in Christ. How rich we are to be children of God. I want to ask you a question. Do you see how wealthy you are as a Christian? And if you're not a Christian, do you see what you're missing out on? An inheritance that is everlasting. you're missing out on a spiritual family. And you're missing out on a God that is willing to adopt you and accept you. Oh, I'll tell you. We got a lot of rich people here who don't even know it. Because they're rich in Christ. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel or be restored to Christ, we pray you come.